now reread. Joshua 1, verse 6 to 9. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. In this book of Joshua, God works a wonder of grace. Namely, he gives the people of Israel the land of Canaan. He does this by destroying the inhabitants, working marvels, so that Israel possesses the land, just as God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All this is, of course, typical of Jesus Christ and his salvation. He destroyed Satan and sin and death by the wonder of the cross and the resurrection, so that all who are in him inherit the heavenly Canaan and the everlasting rest. And all this is according to the promise of the gospel. Now the chapter which we read together, Joshua 1, consists of four speeches. First, Jehovah speaks to Joshua, verses 1 to 9. Then Joshua speaks to the officers or other leaders of Israel, verses 10 to 11. And then Joshua speaks to the 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, who had already inherited their land on the other side of the Canaan, of the River Jordan. That's verses 12 to 15. And finally, verses 16 to 18, the 2.5 tribes respond and speak to Joshua. In my Bible, these four speeches are marked by that little symbol at verse 10, verse 12, and verse 16. So it's already divided into the four primary speeches of the chapter. In all of these four speeches, you will have noted that Joshua is involved. He is either the speaker or the one spoken to. Now we're especially interested this morning in the first and largest speech, Jehovah's words to Joshua in verses 1 to 9. The place of this speech is in the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, on the other side of the Jordan River. The occasion is this: Moses has died. Israel has wept for him 30 days, a whole month mourning over the servant of the Lord. And Joshua must now lead Israel into the conquest of the promised land. Now God's words to Joshua in these first 9 verses consist chiefly of promises and exhortations concerning Joshua's calling. At this time and at this place, Joshua, this is what you need to hear: promises and exhortations concerning your calling. And most prominent of all in Jehovah's address to Joshua is the command, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. This is our theme this morning. And we're going to see how it applies to Joshua and to us, the people of God today, especially David, at his confession of faith. Be strong and very courageous. The necessity of being strong and very courageous. The basis for being strong and very courageous, and the means by which we must be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. The necessity, the basis, and the means. 3 times, Joshua is exhorted by Jehovah in this chapter to be strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 8, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Joshua is similarly exhorted by the 2.5 tribes. At the end of verse 18, they say, Joshua, we'll obey whatever you say, only it's important to us that you be strong and of a good courage. We need leadership like that. 4 times then in this chapter, Joshua is exhorted to be strong and of a good courage. So God must have judged that this exhortation, uttered 4 times, was necessary for him. This exhortation was necessary for Joshua, even though he was already somewhat prepared for his calling. You will remember that Joshua was the one who led Israel into battle against Amalek, Exodus 17. So Joshua then had been courageous in battle before. Now he must be courageous in battle again as he defeats the Canaanites in Palestine. And such exhortations, therefore, are never superfluous to the people of God. You need to be brave to fight the wars of Jehovah. Joshua was also prepared by God to succeed Moses, in that Joshua was made Moses' minister or servant. And here again I remind you of earlier material in the Pentateuch. Joshua went with Moses some way up Mount Sinai, Exodus 24 verse 13. Joshua too heard the singing of the idolatrous Israelites when he and Moses came down from the mountain, Exodus 32 verse 17. Joshua also remained for some time in the tabernacle in Exodus 33 verse 11. Those are just representative incidents. Joshua was Moses' minister through 101 different incidents over 40 years. That's a long time for his training. And even then, after spending all that time with the great Moses, he still needed to be exhorted, be strong, and very courageous. And if Joshua needed that, David this morning, and all you as the people of God, must not take it ill when you are exhorted through God's word to have courage. This doesn't mean that I think, because I don't, that you are particularly weak and cowardly Christians. The fact that I say be strong and very courageous, it implies no such thing. But we're saying that if Joshua, who fought the Amalekites and served Moses and lived in his presence for 40 years, needed this exhortation, then you and I surely need it too. We ought to say, moreover, that Joshua was prepared for his calling through his time as a spy, searching out Canaan in Numbers 13 and 14. Joshua was a spy. He saw the people, he saw the land, so he knew what he was in for. And he and Caleb were strong and of a good courage when they withstood the unbelief and despair of the other 10 spies who said, "We're never going to be able to do it. We ought to go back to Egypt and die there." They were strong. And now Joshua, once again, is exhorted to be brave. We ought to say as well, though, that Joshua was commanded to be strong and courageous, even though he was also ordained to lead Israel. The classic passage here is Numbers 27, verses 18 and following. Joshua was ordained, set apart by God, and through the laying on of hands of Moses to be Israel's leader and Moses' successor. Numbers 27, verse 18. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, a public ordination ceremony. And thou shalt put some of thine honour upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in." That's speaking about war, going out and coming in. "Both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation." That was the Lord's word to Moses. Verse 22 says, "And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." Joshua was ordained. Deuteronomy 34, the last chapter in the Pentateuch, and therefore the chapter immediately preceding Joshua 1. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." So he was ordained and equipped by being filled with the spirit of wisdom. And therefore, even men who are ordained and equipped for special offices in the church need this exhortation to be strong and courageous. Probably we ought to say, in fact, especially men who are ordained and equipped for special offices in the church need this exhortation to be strong and courageous. And David, you need this exhortation too, as you've made confession of faith. We are also to add, though, that Joshua had already been exhorted to be bold by Moses before Moses died. Joshua was exhorted thus in Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Moses here knows that he is soon to die. He says there, verse 7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 23 is similar. Moses gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage. And after all those exhortations, as in Deuteronomy 31, and after all that training and preparation, Jehovah still gives Joshua this threefold exhortation in chapter 1. And then the 2.5 tribes say to Joshua, after all that, Now Joshua, you're going to lead over us. Be strong and of a good courage. That's quite an emphatic charge. Brings us to this question. Why is it that Joshua needed this courage? Well, for one thing, Moses had died. And Moses was a very hard act to follow. The first verse reads, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. That was a mighty fact. And now, Joshua, here's what you must do. Moses, my servant, is dead, and not, let's all despair, the work of God is finished. Moses, my servant, is dead, and now the work must go on. Arise, go over the Jordan, and conquer the land. Moses, the name Moses, is actually mentioned some 11 times in this first chapter of Joshua, because everybody's thinking, now Moses is dead, what happens next? And the whole of the Pentateuch testifies to the greatness of Moses. Through him God wrought the 10 plagues which devastated Egypt, that great world power. He was the one who brought them out and who caused the sea to bury Pharaoh and his host. Through Moses, Israel received the law. And Deuteronomy 34 verse 10 says that Moses is the greatest of all the prophets in the Old Testament, because he alone spoke with God face to face. And all the other prophets only had, as it were, a portion of the spirit of Moses. He was the great lawgiver. And the history of Israel and the prophets and the wisdom literature feed out of the books of Moses. It's the foundation of the Old Testament faith. Now, Joshua, you're going to take his place. You need to be strong and of a good courage. We've spoken before about the preparation which Joshua had. All the preparation in the world still doesn't rule out this fact, that this was a new calling for Joshua, and this is the highest office which Joshua had ever filled, or would ever fill. An era had ended with Moses, and now a new era was to begin. Moses brought Israel out of Egypt. Joshua must complete the task by bringing Israel into Canaan. And never before had such an awesome responsibility been laid on Joshua's shoulders. And Joshua, you're beginning to get the point now, Joshua, you need courage for this great task. And you need courage, Joshua, because this task is difficult and arduous. The Israelites are vastly outnumbered by the Canaanites. Some of the Canaanites are giants. And you know this, Joshua, because you've been in the land as a spy. And the first part of the land which you must conquer, Jericho, with its mighty walls. That's the stiffest city in the whole land. And it's first. And it was perhaps the best fortified city in the world at that time, or second best, at least in the ancient Near Eastern world. Joshua, you need courage, or else you'll resign. Now the people of God likewise need this courage, because we have our own Canaanites to fight. The world, and the flesh, and the devil. And it's always a fight. And if you don't realize you're in a fight, you're losing that fight. These are vast hordes of fierce and mighty enemies. So be strong in the Lord and very courageous. And if you're not strong in the Lord and courageous, your hands will hang down and your knees will become weak through fear and discouragement, because that's the opposite of being strong and courageous. Weak, timid, fearful, scared, and then you're beaten. The text also explains to us that Joshua needed courage in order to keep the word of God. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that, in order that, so that, you must be strong and courageous, in order that, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not to the right hand or to the left. It's true that the word of God gives us courage. We'll say more about that later on. But here this passage says that we need courage to do the word of God. And Joshua needed this courage. God said in Deuteronomy 7, verse 2, that the Canaanites must utterly be wiped out. Don't spare a man. Massacre them. You'd be tempted to quail from such a charge. Joshua, you need to be courageous to do it, because God said it. Joshua, you must conquer the land the way in which I will tell you, even if it means marching around the greatest fortress in the area many, many times and blowing a trumpet. Even though that's the most foolish thing you could perhaps do from an earthly point of view, you need to be bold and courageous, even though you don't understand why. And Joshua, you need to be bold, because one day, though you don't know it, you're going to have to order the stoning to death of one of the citizens of Israel and his family. And the child of God most definitely needs courage to observe God's word. This especially for David. Once we're reconstituted as a church, God willing, and let's say some member of the church falls into sin or heresy and remains impenitent after being frequently and brotherly admonished, then you will need to be of strong courage. You'll need to have the strong courage to assent, assuming now that the person is committing heresy or a gross sin, and the church has handled the thing properly according to the word of God. You will need to have the courage to assent to the excommunication, whereby you say amen to the shutting of the gates of the kingdom of heaven to exclude a member of the church. Because 1 Corinthians 5, as we saw some weeks back or months back, points out that it is the church which excommunicates. All the members put the impenitent member out. The office bearers take the lead, but the church has the power to excommunicate, and the church and every member excommunicates. And this must be the case with David and with all of us, even if the Achan, to use language from the book of Joshua, even if the Achan is a friend of yours, even if Achan is your member of your family, you need courage to do that. And you need courage too to confess the faith, as here today and before the ungodly, which in many ways is harder. And you need boldness to confess the doctrines of the three forms of unity in a day of apostasy, and the doctrines taught here in this Christian church. And you need boldness to confess that till the very day in which you die. And you need boldness to confess that if in God's providence the very confession itself is likely to bring death and persecution. The people of God need to be bold. The people of God need to be bold because we follow Jesus Christ, who lived all his life under a cross which brought mockery, persecution, and death. And the scripture says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, what's the basis for this calling to be bold and of a good courage? The basis for our spiritual strength and courage are the promises of God, and two especially are set forth in Joshua chapter 1. First of all, we have the promise of the inheritance. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for, here's the reason, unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua, be strong, because my promise to you is that you will divide Canaan for an inheritance amongst the tribes of Israel. And if I promise that you will divide the land, then obviously you will conquer the land. And all this was an oath which I swear unto the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now believe this oath, Joshua, and be strong, and of a good courage, and fulfill your calling in the kingdom of God. And each and every Christian, David included, must live by this same faith. We live in the consciousness that Jesus Christ has purchased for us everlasting rest in the heavenly Canaan, that sin and death have been defeated, that Satan and the world have been conquered, and that we must fight for and in this heavenly reward with this confidence. As the Apostle John says, this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. And the weakest believer overcomes the world because he has faith, and he enters the new world. And if the Christian begins to doubt, and I most especially doubting the world to come, because that's a large component in our faith. Doubting the world to come means that the Christian will become afraid. The Christian will become dismayed and discouraged. And then we'll all be like the soldiers who fought against the army of Ai, turning our heels and fleeing. So we must believe the promise of the heavenly Canaan, like Father Abraham, look forward to that, and then, and thus, be strong and of a good courage. That's the first promise. The other promise is the promise of God's presence, and this promise is repeated. Verse 5. God says, second half of the verse, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. With, that means presence. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 9. The Lord thy God, second half, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And in these two verses, or parts of verses, the promise that God is with us and is present, is with us, is elucidated and expanded. I will be with thee. That's the basic promise. How? I will be with thee as I was with Moses. Where? Verse 9. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses, wherever you go. And then God states his promise antithetically in verse 5. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And this promise of God's presence is given to all God's people in the New Testament as well. This is quoted in Hebrews 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the use of this verse from Joshua is urged in Hebrews 13 against covetousness. Don't be covetous, because God has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's all that we need. And that's an exhortation to all the people of God, even in the New Testament. And therefore God is always with us, wherever we go. And he's promised that he will never fail us, nor forsake us. And the apostle adds, if God be for us, who can be against us? And therefore, out of faith, the Christian must be strong and of a good courage. Because if we're not strong and of a good courage, that means we don't believe. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And this must be the conviction of all of us, and especially this morning, your conviction, David. That you will face setbacks and persecutions and distresses, but God is with you in Jesus Christ, by his word and spirit, wherever you are. And the church needs members who are strong and of a good courage. Because the Bible warns us against becoming disheartened. And strong and courageous members encourage everyone else. That's what's needed in the Church of Christ. Now these two promises, which I've been explaining, these two promises are related. God is with those who will inherit the new heavens and the new earth. He's not with those who won't inherit the new heavens and the new earth. And the promises that God is with us and that we will possess the heavenly Canaan, those two promises, faith in those promises, makes us strong and of good courage. Because when God says, I will be with you and you will inherit the land, that means, as is drawn out in other verses later on in the book of Joshua, that means I will fight for you. And then we can be strong and of a good courage. And so this command to be courageous, in its context, is not only an exhortation, but an encouragement. You're not simply being told what you must do and what I must do, but we're being told that God will be with us and fight for us. Let us look more closely at verses 6 to 9. You will notice that three of these four verses begin with the command to be strong and of a good courage. If you run your eye over it, you'll see that's the case with verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. So three of the four verses begin with this command to be strong and courageous. Verse 8 is a command to meditate upon, speak and do the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So three of the four verses say, be strong and courageous. And one of the verses, verse 8, says, meditate upon, speak, and do the word of God. Now what's the relationship between these two commands, to be courageous and to study and obey the law? Here's the relationship. Meditating upon God's law is the way or means of being strong and of a good courage. It's the way or means. In other words, feeding upon the scriptures read by yourself and your family, the scriptures preached in the church, the scriptures explained in various books, feeding on the scriptures in these various ways makes the Christian strong and courageous. So what about our spiritual strength and courage then? What about our spiritual strength and courage this morning? Do you feel weak, discouraged, and fearful this morning? Well, this text may well identify the problem. There could be other factors involved. But this text explains one reason why that can be the attitude and feeling of the people of God. The question then needs to be asked, have you been feeding on the scriptures? And the analogy here is very simple. It's one between the physical world and the spiritual world. People without physical food become weak and discouraged. And people who are Christians without spiritual food become weak and discouraged. So this then is the divinely appointed means of being strong and courageous. Break down some of the elements in verse 8. First of all, meditation on the word. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The word meditate means mutter. Somebody's got the word in front of them and he's going over it and you can see his lips moving and he's thinking about it, speaking to himself. And he's doing this day and night. This obviously rules out a haphazard, occasional glance or shallow reading of the scriptures day and night. And we must meditate on the word of God, that's what it says here in Joshua 1, day and night. That includes such things as when we lie in bed, when you're walking down the road, when you're in the home, and 101 other situations. Psalm 1 verse 2 speaks of the godly man thus, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that's at the very start of the first psalm. And that's what the church sings. This is the blessed man, the one who delights in the word of God and meditates therein day and night. And meditating in the word of God day and night surely would include scripture memorization. Because if you meditate in the word of God day and night, you're bound to learn some more of the word of God. You'll pick it up even if you're not even intending to do it. And if we say, and this is our chief excuse, because it only is an excuse, that we're too busy, we can't do this. And then we say, well, this was the word of God was delivered first of all to Joshua. And Joshua had the promised land to conquer. And there was at least 2 million people in the camp which he had to oversee and rule and govern. He must have been very busy. I'm sure he was an awful lot busier than anybody here in this assembly. And yet God commanded him to do this, and he did have good success. So we assume that Joshua meditated in God's law day and night. Meditating upon the word, that's enjoined in verse 8. Speaking the word also, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, it's in our heart by meditation, and therefore it's in our mouth for speaking. This means that the Christian must talk about the word. And meditating on God's word and talking about God's word makes us strong in the Lord and courageous in the Lord and stirs up other people too. The third thing, we must obey this word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. All of it. Which means, of course, that you meditate and speak about all of it too. Which implies a systematic grasp and reading of the Bible. And this passage teaches us, verse 8, that this meditating, speaking, and obeying the Word of God brings godly spiritual success. It says that those who do these things, says of them, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A prosperous way and good success, that's what the Christian wants. We have something similar in Psalm number 1. I mentioned there the godly man, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 then says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That same connection between feeding on the word and prosperity, only Psalm 1 pictures it like a great tree, strong, healthy, planted by the rivers of water, lots of leaves and fruit in its season. And David, this is your calling, as it is the same calling for every last one of us, because it's God's word. And we've all heard this word, and we must obey it. God then concludes his speech to Joshua, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee?" And we have all been commanded in Christ's name. "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Amen.